Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
This is BLB, episode 155. I'm Grant Paulson, joined by Toby Altizer, producer Darris, making everything sound good. Toby, the Nats won the draft lottery. They will pick number one overall this July in 2025. They had the fourth best odds at right around 10% to get the number one overall pick. And Matt Adams, representing the organization, was asked by Mike Rizzo to rep the organization about 2 hours before the lottery when they bumped into him in the hallway at the convention center where the winter meetings are being held, and he was the lucky charm. They win the lottery. They will pick first.
It seems only right, Grant, because they should have had a top pick last year. If, you know, even if they didn't have the draft lottery, they should have been picking much higher than 10th. They get screwed and can only pick 10th last year. Seems only right that they get the opportunity to lead off the draft this year. And I think this is huge for the Nationals because, you know, like we talked about on the previous episode when we're talking about whether they're going to spend or not, reacting to the Finnegan news, you know, you talk about the next crop of guys that are going to be here as minor leaguers, whether it's Brady House or Sikora, some of these guys. Outside of Sikora, they don't necessarily have elite guys that you think are going to be top 10 prospects when they get called up. Well, here's your opportunity to add in another one. And, you know, depending upon who they draft, and we'll be covering that, you know, immensely as the time goes on. But whoever they draft, whether it's a high schooler, whether it's a college guy, whatever the timeline is, regardless, you get an elite guy, or at least get a chance to get an elite guy that can be a middle of the order type of bat. Or if they were to go a pitcher, you look at an ace type of guy. You can finally get someone else in there that is elite in the James Wood, Dylan Cruz tier. And something that I was talking with someone about on Twitter about this, because they gave a little snarky comment of, well, what does it matter if you can't sign these guys in their prime? Well, the reality is, when you think back to 2019, Soto hadn't hit free agency yet. Rendon hadn't hit free agency yet. Trey Turner hadn't hit free agency yet. And so even if it's all at the end of their time in DC, if you can find another group of guys that can all come together and hopefully ownership spends a little bit. That's how you get it done. So they've got a chance now with some of this young core. And then you add in now a number one overall selection that hopefully helps this team in the next couple of years. I mean, there's a lot to be excited about for this team. And the key is ownership has to pull up their side of the bargain because, you know, the frustration so far this offseason, I don't think any of it is towards Mike Rizzo or the development staff, because I think what they're doing is actually an improvement of what they've done throughout their history, really. It's just ownership needs to hold up their end of the bargain because Rizzo is doing a heck of a job of putting them in position to be successful, and now you get another number one overall pick to help in that. I think they're in a really good spot in terms of that. Now it's just a question of if they're going to spend in free agency.
Yeah, so I want to get back to ownership and free agency and all the other kind of storylines here. But to circle back to really just the lead, which is getting the number one overall pick, this is a massive day for this organization. This is an absolute game changer. Let's just call it what it is. I mean, this is, you know, you hit the lottery to get number one overall, but really you hit the prospect lottery. You got the pick of the litter. Inevitably, that probably ends up being Ethan Holiday, Matt's son, Jackson's little brother, the 17-year-old, 6'4" infielder from Stillwater, Oklahoma, who's a left-handed hitting high schooler. And he's shortstop, third base type, depending on how much bigger he gets. But they have options. Jace LaViolette, we could talk about, an outfielder from Texas A&M, who's a left-handed hitting slugger, 21 years old, big kid, 6'6", 230, could end up being the top bat out of college baseball. There's a lefty at Florida State named Jamie Arnold, who's a 6'1", little under 200-pound southpaw, who has a chance to be the best college pitcher in America. He'll be competing with Tyler Bremer from UC Santa Barbara and some of the other arms in this class. But they'll get to pick between all of the best prospects. Do they want someone who they might deem by the time the draft rolls around can't miss? You know, who knows? Jace LaViolette could become the next Wyatt Langford and have this monster final college season, and you feel like he could be in the big leagues in a half year with Cruz and Wood to make up your outfield long term. And they want to go that route, let's say, and there's part of the power that they need. If they think that Ethan Holiday, like I do, at this moment is a future star and is going to be better than Jackson Holiday and is going to be a quick-moving prep bat who's got a chance to give you, you know, really elite off-the-chart tools, maybe they go with him. But adding a player like that to this system is a game changer. You've graduated Wood, as you said. You've got Cruz to the big leagues now, who's going to compete, hopefully, for the Rookie of the Year award. You've got your young core with Gore and Abrams and the pieces that they've put together. And you're right, Sakura looks like a potential ace in the making. Hopefully, he'll be at A+, AA, maybe AAA this year, perhaps the big leagues in 2026. But as far as bats go, you know, it's Brady House, who has not really been, I wouldn't say, a star at the minor league level. We like the upside, has a chance to hit for some big league power, puts on some BP displays. You know, Seaver King was a top 10 pick last year at Wake, who they really, really like, who can play infield, shortstop, third base, athletic enough to play outfield. We'll see where he ends up. But they do not have what I would consider to be like blue chip sticks. Hopefully Seaver King becomes an impact major leaguer. I think Luke Dickerson, who they drafted last year, who's a 19-year-old in this system, who's going to, you know, really become more known this year, has a chance to be that kind of guy. But for the most part, it's, you know, guys that you're kind of, it's non can't miss types. It's good prospects, but there's an attrition rate. You know, does Yoandy Morales end up being an everyday stud for you, hits home runs? Is Caleb Loma Vida going to be an everyday all-star type catcher, right? Does Caden Wallace, who they got in the Hunter Harvey deal from the Royals, does he end up being an everyday starter? Same with Dalen Lyle or Robert Hassel. So, I mean, it's just a big drop-off. But now you add another of the Cruz Wood types. You know, you draft those guys. I know Cruz was 2 overall. Wood was actually outside of the top 50. But like what he is as a prospect, he bloomed and flourished. And normally, a prospect like that, you get in the top 5. So you're adding another player like that. The 2 times, Toby, they've picked number one, who was it? It was Strasburg, maybe the best pitcher homegrown in organizational history, and Harper. Same thing as far as bats go, perhaps, other than Juan Soto. So this is a huge deal for all of the negativity, deservedly, and the angst and the worry about spending and this ownership group and all the nonsense that we have to deal with, you know, with the stuff that ownership controls. This is a really nice reprieve. It's a a corner that you get to cut. You know what I mean? It's a get out of jail free card. It's a fortuitous break as an organization that makes up for some of this ownership shortcomings again, which frankly, you need as many of those as possible to make this thing work right now.
Yeah, I mean, the excitement, I think, has to be through the roof because, you know, you're going to get to watch James Wood and Dylan Cruz this year. You're going to get to watch them for a while. But you got a potential to have James Wood, Dylan Cruz, and say you take Ethan Holiday. I mean, that being your 2-3-4 is going to be one of the better potential middle of the orders in the big leagues. Now, what are they going to surround it with? That's a big question. We'll talk about that plenty. But you have the potential to get some superstars in the building, or at least a superstar to add into James Wood and Dylan Cruz, and you got to continue to develop. And, you know, maybe you find a diamond in the rough at a couple of guys you've already got. But also, too, it just gives you a chance to add in some more elite talent, which if they're not going to be aggressive in free agency, then here's your chance. You're going to have to do it through the draft. You look at other franchises that operate with minimal payrolls, and they get stars, too. But the way that they have to do it is through the draft. And maybe they don't stick around for their entire careers, but you still get a lengthy amount of time with them. And so I think with this, you add another guy who maybe you're not going to be able to get that sort of caliber in free agency like this team has done in the past. And so, you know, this is a real opportunity where I think when you combine what they've done the last couple of years in terms of their draft, where they've drafted better players, or at least they've been able to develop them, and that's a credit to what they've been able to do in the development staff, when you combine those factors, I think it just adds to how encouraging the future is for that side of the Nationals. And that's taking away all the stuff with the free agency and ownership. But when you just focus on what Mike Rizzo has done in terms of drafting guys, bringing them in the building and developing them, and then seeing what even guys that were in the building before that they've kind of had this little renaissance over the last 2 years, how they've been able to develop, it's more encouraging that that's going on. And then you add in the fact now that you're going to bring in one of the top, if not the top talent in this upcoming draft. And two, you get more money to spend because of you having the number one overall pick and your pool is get a little bit larger. So I think what they're going to have the opportunity to do this offseason and specifically with the draft coming up next year is add in elite talent that maybe they couldn't have done previously if they're not going to spend. And so that's how you can add to a Soto, or excuse me, that's how you can add to a Wood and a Cruz. And hopefully
I wish it was a Soto,
but that's how you can add to those guys and hopefully build another World Series team without actually going out and spending money in free agency.
Yeah. A few other things. I tweeted this today, but I also think the possibility, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but if I could just get ahead of myself really quickly, of if they were to draft Jackson Holiday, like how cool that would be for the regional rivalry here with right. Baltimore and Washington, where you've got Jackson as the face of the Orioles moving forward, Ethan is one of the faces of the Nats maybe ultimately. You know, you fast forward a few years down the line and O's, Nats, Baltimore, Washington, regional rivalry, and two brothers on the field as young core stars in baseball. Like, that would be really, really cool. I just think that storyline is fun.
Well, and I think people need to understand, like, if we were going into this past year, we talked about Skeens and Cruz a little bit. Give us a little bit of a breakdown of Ethan Holiday, because right now he'd be the number one pick if everything was drafted today, or at least presumably he'd be the number one pick. But I think people maybe don't know as much about him. And I think if they did, I think that excitement level would jump to another level. Because
yeah, it's a good point. I mean, he's kind of been widely considered the top draft prospect in this class for the 2025 group for a couple of years. I mean, when his brother Jackson was taken first overall back in 2022, I remember at our draft set, like the night before and the day of the draft, and even then we were talking about Ethan going 1-1 in his class. I mean, he's been on radars, and he was at the time, what, 14, 15 years old? But he's been taking BP and hitting home runs in big league parks since that time, if you can imagine that. But he's a more physical like prospect than his brother. Jackson's not a big guy. Might be listed at like around 6 foot, but you know, you look at him and you kind of see, oh, I could see why he ends up at say second base. And even as a hitter, the hit tool is incredible. He's going to hit 20 plus home runs, 25 so home runs. But Ethan Holiday is a much more hulking, bigger presence. When you see pictures of the two of them side by side, I mean, Ethan Holiday at 17 years old is 6'4". He already weighs about 200 pounds. He looks a lot more like Matt Holiday, who, you know, was a different era, playing at Coors Field for much of his career. But, I mean, you're talking about a 35-40 homer, you know, bat in the big leagues that his father was. And I think, you know, that Ethan, in terms of his hitting ability, like Jackson's bat-to-ball contact, you know, that type of a profile, he's going to be more of a slugger, I would say, because he's only going to get bigger and stronger. You know, maybe he ends up 6'5 and 220 pounds or something like that. The question then becomes, does he end up at third base or, you know, a corner outfield? But, I mean, what scouts have talked about with Ethan Holliday for a few years is this is 35 homer power with a ton of walks, like really good. The bloodlines and the second generation profile you expect in terms of acumen and smarts and all of those things. But it's, you know, okay speed. Jackson probably runs a little better. I would imagine he's like a 50 runner, but it's 60 to 70 power. You know, might be 70 when it's all said and done. It's probably presently 60, 65. And it's a big league average hit tool, an above average arm. And then the question ends up being, like, he's got plenty of arm. He's got plenty of actions for short. But is he going to grow out of that position long term? And I think that's the question. I would imagine him being like an all-star third baseman year in and year out for me with power, if I had to guess right now. But anyway, it's just it's really exciting, man. I mean, look, think about it this way, Toby, and I'll turn over the floor to you. But to me, there's two things that cost money. Like, you can develop players not at the top of the board at a lot of positions, right? You can piecemeal together a roster. But if you want 30-plus home run power, as we're seeing right now as we talk about the Nats and who they're going to sign, you have to pay money for that. That costs money. The two things that cost the most money in baseball are home run power, bolts, right, and swing and miss starting pitching, like frontline elite repertoire starting pitching. You can't be cheap and get those things. You either draft it at the very top of the board or you pay in free agency. This would be that kind of power bat at the top of the board.
Well, and the reason I wanted you to give that scouting report is because he's more James Wood than he is Dylan Cruz. Like, the excitement level for a Dylan Cruz out of 10 is like an 8.5. You're obviously thrilled about Dylan Cruz, but is he a 30 homer bat? Probably not. Is he like going to win an MVP? Probably not. Like, he's going to be a fantastic player, going to be an all-star, someone that's going to be the face of your franchise for a long time. But is he going to be the potential MVP like a James Wood? Maybe not. Whereas when you add in an Ethan Holliday, like, that's a guy who could be going toe-to-toe with James Wood for best ball player on the team, assuming they both hit their ceiling. Like, this is someone, think back, old Nationals draft picks. This is a Bryce Harper versus a Rendon. Rendon was awesome, but Rendon wasn't hitting 40 bombs. Harper was. Like, those sorts of things, to me, is what makes this so exciting, where you get to add another stud. Also, too, like you said, the two number one picks in this franchise's history, I know they're both incredibly unique because they were guys that we all knew coming out of high school and college. Like, they were phenoms, right? They were people that everyone knew before it was really a thing to know what was going on in the MLB draft. But Ethan Holliday falls a little bit into that sort of mix. Everyone's going to be talking about this guy as he gets closer and closer to the draft. And so having the potential to add in more talent like that, I think, has to get you fired up, because this isn't just a, okay, we added in another guy that can really help us out. That's cool. You're getting a guy that could potentially be the game changer for a team that potentially, with the help of those three guys that we just mentioned, could turn around and, without even the big spending of ownership, find themselves in the middle of a World Series chase because they're that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talented.
I think that's really well said. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't hesitate to say that he is viewed, you know, it's not the same as Harper, who was on the cover of SI, or Strauss, who was like the most hyped first ever prospect of the Twitter and social media era, where he was kind of like a Paul Skeens in the early going of social media. But it's more along those lines than, say, you know, a off year, unexciting, someone's got to go first overall kind of pick, right? Like a Carlos Correa or something like that. Not to say he hasn't had a great career. I'd be thrilled if that's what Ethan Holiday became. But that would be my point, is like, this is a revered longtime, you know, scouting circles kind of player. And obviously the last name's a big reason for that. A couple of behind the scenes stories just on this win of the draft lottery for the Nats today. So want to play a conversation that we had with Matt Adams, actually, on Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan, our Nats flagship station in D.C., and we'll play that in just a moment. But Matt Adams told us, you'll hear in the interview, I just want to get your reaction to this, Toby, he had no idea that he was even going to take part in this draft lottery until a couple of hours before it started. So he's just at the winter meetings randomly. Okay, he's walking around in the lobby. He's trying to get a job as a coach, not on a big league staff necessarily, but for people that don't know about the winter meetings, I mean, everybody in baseball or not in baseball who wants to be in baseball goes to this thing. If you sell sunflower seeds, or you're with a bat company, or you have this new product where you want players to, you know, wear this little item on their cleats because it keeps them warm, or, well, whatever. Like, you go to these events and you walk around and you pass out your cards. And so Matt Adams is probably at the collegiate level or whatever, like trying to get into coaching. So it just so happens that he sees Mike Rizzo and he walks up and says hello. It's his former GM he won a World Series with. You know, you're linked forever. And it's about 2:30 in the afternoon. The lottery's at 5:30. And the Nats have to have a former player represent them as an organization at the draft lottery. So I don't know if they had another plan or what the deal was, but they essentially said, hey, Matt, you were on the 2019 World Series team. Why don't you go represent us at this draft lottery? And he's like, yeah, no problem. I'd love to. That's how it happened, like 3 hours before. And lo and behold, he's sitting there as they pull the number one card. And even more amazing than that, we've been talking a lot about Ethan Holiday, not to make it like a formality. I mean, a lot could happen between now and then, right? But Matt Adams was on the Cardinals with Matt Holiday when Ethan was five and running around at the ballpark in the clubhouse, like babysat him and, you know, hung out with him as a little kid and flipped him the ball for BP. And then he's there as they get the number one pick for what could be Ethan Holiday as a now 17-year-old. He'll be 18 for the draft. But that's one of those, like, baseball's just amazing, sports are the best kind of storylines, well, that you can't make up.
The question I would have is, like, what was their plan if Matt Adams wasn't just wandering around the lobby? Like, what would have happened? Are they just going to send Davey Martinez up there? Or is it, what was the plan?
It had to be former players. So there were a couple of, like, former players that are lesser-known Nationals, not on the championship team, that had cups of coffee that
Mark DeRosa's in town for MLB Network.
Just worked tangentially with Major League Baseball, and I think that was the plan. But when they bumped into Adams, they're like, hey, why not have one of the guys from our championship team?
I mean, it's funny because, like, if all the 26 members or however many members of the World Series team that you could think of, I don't know that Matt Adams would have been in the top 15 or top 20 to throw up there. But, hey, it worked out. And from now on, whenever they have a chance at the number one pick, Matt Adams should be there. Like, I think that's his permanent job with the organization, is MLB draft lottery.
Well, I've been joking. I mean,
representative.
Let's see if it's just MLB. Why, the Wizards, I know this is a Nats podcast, but their, you know, colleagues in D.C. are gunning for the number one pick and will have the best chance at winning the lottery. I mean, if I'm the Wizards, I'm calling over for Matt Adams' number going, hey, you want to represent us? We need Cooper Flagg.
Well, and maybe the issue, Grant, is instead of the learner spending money in free agency, they're giving too much money to whatever the lottery balls are, however they decide these things, because they would have won the thing last year. So I don't know what the heck is going on.
Did
that
you,
the Nationals,
mention this? Do you realize they actually won twice last year?
Yeah. The Nationals are essentially undefeated at winning the draft lottery.
It's crazy.
Somehow
people
they
that don't know what we're talking about are the background. I think some of you probably remember. But so last year, because of the rules, they were not allowed to pick in the top nine. And we don't need to go back through all of it, but the specifics are essentially the year before they won the number two pick with Dylan Cruz. So that because of where they're at in kind of the payroll and the market size, you can't pick in the top nine back-to-back years. So the highest they could pick was 10th. So it's every other. So this year they're back to being able to win the lottery. Well, last year, they still do the lottery the same way with the ping pong balls that get pulled or the numbers or however it works. And so they, when they went for the number one pick, they do it before it's actually on TV and put the things in the envelopes, obviously. It came up Washington at number one. And they said, oh, well, it can't be the Nationals that, you know, they're automatically getting the 10th pick now or whatever. And so they do it a second time. And it was the Nationals again, the second time when they redid it to try to make sure someone else won. So they've now hit the lottery three times in the last 12 months. Twice last year when they weren't allowed to win it. They had to do the simulation three times. And then this year. So, hey, man, maybe that curly W is like the weight of it just so on those balls works out beautifully. I don't know.
Whatever it is, it's perfect, and I hope it continues. Obviously, that means the following year they can't pick 10th. But, hey, give us the first overall pick again the following year. Let's just keep this trend rolling. I like it.